Suppose you were living 2,000 years ago, and you had opportunity to look in the window of Christ's carpenter shop. What would you see? A skinny, emaciated teenager, or a young man in his early 20s struggling to saw through a board? Or would you see a strong, muscular Christ axing timbers, sawing through boards? Be prepared for a surprise as we see Nathan Green's picture of Christ. Welcome to another episode of The Master's Brush, a series of programs on the paintings of Nathan Green and their spiritual impact on our lives today. In this program, we focus especially on a painting called The Carpenter. Nathan, before we get into the painting of today, down through the centuries, artists have depicted Christ in different ways. How have they depicted him?
Well, for the first few centuries after Jesus was actually here, there were no depictions literally of Jesus. There were symbols like of a fish or of an anchor or of a cross. But eventually there began to be images of a shepherd holding a lamb, which represented Christ. In about the 3rd to 4th century, you began to see depictions of Jesus. And they were usually very austere, very serious, very, you may have seen some of the mosaics in your travels to Europe that have been depicting him this way. Not exactly the kind that modern men and women would warm up to. In the Renaissance period, there were depictions of a very European-looking Christ, and usually somewhat emaciated, very thin, gaunt, but very serious. You know, Rembrandt painted a depiction of Jesus that's thought to be one of the most, you know, most attractive, most appealing pictures of Christ. And yet, you know, he had no knowledge of what Jesus might have really looked like, but it was very appealing. In recent times, there have been depictions that I really admire by artists like Carl Bloch. He was a Dutch painter who did some beautiful renditions of him. Artists like Werner Salmon, who painted a picture in the 1940s, a portrait in sepia tone, who most people have seen. It's a kind of chestnut, wavy hair, a kind of a glowing countenance around him. And beautifully depicted, but again, we don't really know what he really looked like. I've kind of come to this, you know, with the tradition of all the artists that have depicted Christ coming before me, and am able to build on what they did. I did have the opportunity to talk to a German archaeologist, Siegfried Horn, before he passed away. And I asked him, what do you think Jesus would have looked like? And his answer to me was, most archaeologists and anthropologists believe that the Jews at the time of Christ would have looked like a modern-day Arab. They would have had of certain types, like Lebanese, for example, olive complexion, dark eyes, dark hair, dark features, not blonde hair, blue-eyed Anglo-Saxon. So I set out to find a model that would fit that description. The model that I used for the depiction of Jesus as a carpenter is actually half Lebanese, part Hispanic, a little bit of Asian Indian. So he's a very multicultural model for Christ. I've since found another model because it's been 27 years that I've been doing this. My current model is half Cuban and half European Spanish, also multicultural.
In this painting, The Carpenter, Christ is depicted differently than in some of your other paintings. In some of your paintings, you have this warm, compassionate Christ. This
yes.
is the painting of the invitation, for example. Mm-hmm. Christ's arms are out. He's inviting us to come.
Yeah.
The paintings that you've done in the medical field, Christ is so compassionate. But this, he looks a little stronger.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, it was intentional. This illustration was done for a magazine cover. It was the cover of Signs of the Times magazine. it was for an article called Jesus Was No Wimp. And the whole emphasis of the article was that the way he's been portrayed in the past is not necessarily the way he really would have been or might have been. His father was a carpenter. It's very, very likely that he followed in the trade of his father, at least until the time he began his ministry recorded in the Gospels.
One of the designers that you have worked with over the years is Ed Guthrow.
Mm-hmm.
And Ed helped to initiate the painting, The Carpenter.
Yes.
Let's let him tell the story.
Okay.
The Carpenter, which is one of Nathan's better known paintings, actually started as a magazine illustration back about 1990 for an article called Jesus Wasn't a Wimp for Signs of the Times magazine. And this painting has become very popular, and the neat thing about it is that it shows an approachable Jesus, one that isn't it's different. It's different than other portrayals of Jesus. And Jesus, being working physical labor when he was a young man, would be more of a He-Man type of person than is often portrayed traditionally. And we wanted to get this across. And I did a sketch, a marker sketch, and sent it to Nathan, and he ended up doing this painting called Jesus Wasn't a Wimp, following the name of the article. And it just showed a Christ that maybe was a little different, a little more real than traditionally had been shown. And there's a nice story about this. There was a girl in New York that saw this picture on the street. She was kind of a tough street kid, and there was she was with a group, and they were passing the New York Van Ministries at the time. There used to be a van that would go out in the streets of New York and help people check their blood pressure and feed homeless people, and they also had a number of these magazines they were giving away. And at first, the teenagers were making fun of the magazines and and then the girl saw the magazine, and she came back later from the group, and she said, "Can I have a copy of that magazine?" She said, "I'd like to learn more about that Jesus. If that's what Jesus looks like, I'd like to learn more about that Jesus."
If Jesus looks like that, I'd like to know more about him. That's really the response you want from
yes,
the painting, isn't it?
I loved it when I heard that story.
Nathan, take us through the painting and share with us what you were trying to communicate in the painting. What's the message here?
Well, you know, I was trying to convey a strong blue-collar Jesus, you know, a working man. And, you know, I had in the back of my mind that so many people are working physical jobs, blue-collar jobs. And I think sometimes people get discouraged with the fact that maybe they don't feel like, well, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a physician, I'm not a surgeon. What really am I contributing to society? But I think the fact that Jesus participated in a manual labor job was his way, in a way, of blessing and adding nobility to those tasks.
Jesus really dignified human labor, didn't he?
He did.
He spent more of his time in a carpenter shop in Nazareth than he did healing the sick, or he
yes.
did preaching, or any other thing.
Yes.
We might say that his preparation for his ministry took place in that carpenter shop.
Yes. You know, and I will bet that his work was of a very fine quality. I'm sure he was quite a craftsman at what he did.
There is a legend that Justin Martyr, one of the early Christian fathers, talks about.
Yeah.
And he says that Christ made the best ox yokes in all of Galilee.
Yes.
And that people came from quite a distance to purchase those yokes for their oxen because Christ's work was so meticulous.
Yes.
Jesus really dignified human labor, and you wanted to capture that in this picture.
I did, yes. When I portrayed him, I actually emphasized a little bit of the more masculine structure of like the shoulders. The model that I used, he was an attractive man. He was an excellent model for this, but I actually beefed up his shoulders a little bit. I gave a little more strength to the arms, a little more angularity to the form to give it that strength.
When we come back after the break, we're going to look at this muscular Christ, and we're going to look at the setting that Christ lived in, the Roman world. And we'll take you to some artifacts from ancient Rome and see this powerful Christ, and this Christ who was more powerful, stronger than the armies of Rome. Welcome back. We're talking about a picture of Christ titled The Carpenter that reveals a Christ that's different from some of the more effeminate, less masculine Christ that we see. The Carpenter really portrays the strength of Christ, the strength in his arms, the look of determination on his face.
Yes.
He's going to cut through that board. But yet that saw in his hand, is that a 21st century sword or a first century sword?
Neither, actually. It's actually a 19th century saw. But I did consult with some of my archaeologist friends, and they feel that the saw used 2,000 years ago is pretty similar to the ones used in the 19th century. Of course, we have modern power saws now, but very little change.
Christ was in the context of the Roman world, lived in the first century. I know you have been quite a student of Roman history, largely because of your paintings. You wanted to be sure that when you depicted scenes in the first century, they were quite accurate.
That's right.
You have a number of artifacts. This particular sword dates back as a replica to the Roman world. Tell us a little bit about the world then that Christ would have lived or existed in, Nathan.
Well, it was a very rough and violent world. I mean, if you draw the sword out of there, you'll see what a gladius from the time of Christ looked like. And this one is an exact replica of what they call a Mainz gladius. The gladius from the first half of the first century AD, an original was found in Mainz, Germany. And that's based on it, has that inward curve to it. But you can imagine how dangerous a weapon like that would be. I mean, they use swords and pilums. This is a kind of a cross between a spear and a pilum. Pilums were used to stop shields. You know, you'd throw it, had a weight in it that gave it enough oomph to go through a shield, and then the shield was rendered useless. And of course, the spears were used to do what they do to people. But the armor, this is actually, they call it larica segmentata. This is plate armor that was used by the Roman soldier, the average Roman soldier. Officers made 50 times the income of a Roman soldier, so they could afford more elaborate armor. They usually used chainmail or scale armor. And they had greaves. They had protection for their shins and whatnot, and more decorative helmets. This is a Roman officer's helmet from the time of Christ, a replica, of course. They always had a horsehair plume like this. Sometimes they ran sideways like this. But I've worn some of this armor altogether, and believe me, it's not light. It's very heavy. These were strong men, and these were men capable of acts of violence.
When you look at Christ and see his physical strength, and you look at the context that he was set in the Roman world, and to understand that Jesus said, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you, my kingdom is not of this world."
Yes.
I'm reminded that that experience where Peter actually took out his sword and cut off a man's ear.
Yes.
When they were coming to take Christ.
Yes.
And Jesus worked a miracle to put that ear back on, and he said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, I would fight." And so I think your painting really describes two things: the strength of this Christ, but also the compassion, the nonviolent Christ.
Yes, there was a real push at that time to throw off the oppression of the Romans in a violent manner. I mean, you've heard of the stories of the Zealots and their desire to do this in a violent way. And in the midst of this, Jesus is saying, you know, this is not the right approach. I think the people at that time, the Jews, were looking for a Messiah that would help lead the military charge to throw the Romans out of their land. And Jesus had another plan.
The Bible talks about two kingdoms, the kingdom of grace and the kingdom of glory. The Jewish nation was looking for a Messiah that would lead the charge against the Romans, as you so well said, Nathan. When they saw Christ open the eyes of the blind and heal the withered arms of the sick, they thought, "My,
he's finally here.
He's finally here. This Messiah has come. And if we get into a battle, this Messiah can heal us. He can raise the dead. He can feed the sick. He can work miracles." And they had the perception of an earthly kingdom. In fact, even his disciples did. Because you remember, right before Christ's death, they said, James and John said to their mother, "Ask the Messiah. asked Jesus if in the new kingdom one can sit at his right hand, one can sit at his left hand.
Yeah.
So they were thinking about this earthly kingdom.
Yes.
But Christ was thinking about building a kingdom of grace in their hearts. How do you as an artist portray this Christ that is strong yet compassionate? This Christ who can beat back the Roman armies with his physical might,
yes,
take on a Roman gladiator because he's so strong, but yet be so humble, so gentle, so compassionate. How do you try to do that?
Well, I don't think the two qualities are at odds with each other. I think you can have great strength and great peacefulness and compassion at the same time. I mean, I have an older brother who is a very strong man, and yet he's a very kind and compassionate man as well. And so I know firsthand that it's possible to have both of those qualities.
So you don't think that physical strength and human gentleness, love, and compassion are qualities that are in conflict with one another?
No, not at all.
As an artist, when you painted the picture of Christ as the carpenter, mm-hmm, did the process itself, did that process strengthen your faith? Did you see God at work in this painting? I think you have a little story about that.
I did, actually. I mean, this is kind of a unique illustration to me. This is actually one of my favorite, aesthetically speaking, it's one of my favorite illustrations that I've done. That's what I put why I put such a nice frame on it, because this hangs in my studio, the original does. But there was an artist friend from Chicago who called me and asked if he could come observe while I work. And I was scheduled to do this illustration that week. And to be honest with you, I've never been very comfortable with somebody looking over my shoulder while I work. Many ask that if they can do that, but I usually kind of shy away from it. Well, I said, yeah, come on over and we'll do this. And it was at the time when I was just really starting to bring this technique of the mixed media to a higher level.
And mixed media, what's that?
That's where I do an oil wash initially, and then I add other media on top, colored pencil, contact crayon, airbrushing, things like that. So I call it a mixed media technique. I was just learning it, really. And so I had that in the back of my mind. Am I confident enough that I can do this, first of all, but that, let alone with somebody watching me over my shoulder? Well, he came, and it actually went beautifully. It was just like the painting Chief of the Medical Staff, where we've talked about this, how it was almost as if I wasn't painting it. It was, this lady who called and said, tell Nathan God painted that picture. He just let Nathan hold the brushes, you know. But it took 2 days to do this painting, only 2 days, and it was finished, and it went beautifully.
That's remarkable, an indication that God was guiding you as you painted that picture.
I think so.
As you look at Christ, what is your picture of Christ? Is it soft? Is it Jesus kind of effeminate, Jesus the wimp? Or is it a strong Christ that's strong enough to take on the demons of hell as they attack your life? Strong enough to move the mountains that keep you from moving forward? Strong enough to break the chains that bind you? Strong enough to lift you from the mire and the mud that you're sinking in? Strong enough not only to be your loving Savior who puts his arms around you, but strong enough to be your Lord who puts you on his shoulders and carries you to the kingdom? When we come back, I want to share with you how you can reach out and receive the power of that living Christ. There are some people who've been turned off by Christianity because they've felt that Christians are weak. But yet, when you look at the history of the Bible, think about Moses standing before the courts of Pharaoh and looking Pharaoh right in his eyes and saying, "Let my people go." And then leading Israel out of Egyptian bondage right there to the Red Sea. And plunging right into the sea, you had to have some courage to put your feet in the water, in faith as well. Think about Moses leading the children of Israel, over a million of them, through the Sinai desert for 40 years. You have to have some strength of character to put up with those complaining, bickering Israelites during that time and really believe that God had a plan. Think about, for example, Joseph, standing before Potiphar's wife as she's scantily clad, alluring him to sexual immorality. What strength of character he must have had. Strength of character that's far greater than many a businessman or political official today. He said, "How can I do this wickedness and sin against God?" Or think of Daniel, there in the banquet halls of King Nebuchadnezzar, tempted by the sparkling wine on the table, tempting to sacrifice his conscientious convictions, tempted to yield, but yet Daniel says, "I purpose in my heart, I decide in my mind to serve God." Or think of the disciples. When the political officials of Rome say to them, "Don't preach anymore about Jesus," and Peter says, "We ought to obey God rather than men." These biblical characters had a strength of character. They had a self-discipline given to them through the power of the Holy Spirit. They made choices that were tough and difficult at times. Where'd they find the power to do this? Was it simply their willpower? All human willpower is weak. We can decide to live in harmony with principles of honesty, integrity, and morality, and purity. But our weak wills lead us to fail. Our weak wills lead us to yield. Where do we receive this strength of character that we see in Jesus? Where do we receive this power to overcome? The Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse 12, "But as many as received him," that is, that received Jesus, "to them he gave the right or the authority or the power to become the children of God, even to those who believe in his name." The strength to resist evil, the strength to overcome, does not come from our own willpower. It does not come from what's inside of us. It comes from what's inside of him. It comes from Jesus. The Christ that we see in Nathan Green's paintings, so beautifully portrayed with this gentleness, compassion, but inner strength, is the Christ that speaks to us in the pages of the Scripture. He leaps out of those pages. He speaks to us of his ability to change our lives. That's the secret of Christian living. These early Christians learned that they were not strong enough, but he was. He was the Christ that battled the demons. He was the Christ at whose very name disease fled away. He was the Christ that could reach out and touch and heal. He was the Christ whose very strength flows from his heart to ours. That's why the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Are you struggling with some habit in your life? Would you like a new spiritual power flowing in your life? If any man or woman is in Christ, old things have passed away. He or she have become a new creature, a new creation in Christ. You can become a new creation in Jesus. His power can be yours today. This Christ, who is so strong, is strong for you. He lives in your heart to enable you to be an overcomer. Why not reach out to him right now as we pray? Dear Father, thank you that you are strong. Where we're weak, you're strong. Where we're frail, you're mighty. Where we fall, you pick us up. May your strength of character, may the strength of your Holy Spirit flow into our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. Nathan, thank you for giving us such a picture of this strong Christ.
Thank you.
Until next week, remember, Christ is strong for you.